Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing program to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
HBU Think About It welcomes Dr. Jeffrey Howard Green, a graduate of Notre Dame.
Yep.
PhD in philosophy.
That's right.
So who are some of your mentors in the world of philosophy?
Right, well, that's a great question. At Notre Dame, I studied with a lot of different professors there. One that a lot of people have probably heard of is Alvin Plantinga.
Sure.
He was essential to, along with some other professors, really helping Christians find role models inside professional philosophy. One of the more prominent Christian philosophers of his generation. And so he was there at Notre Dame. Peter Van Inwagen, Michael Ray, sort of host of others. So it was a really good experience.
Now, is Alvin Plantinga still lecturing and teaching, or is he retired?
So he's, for the most part, retired. He still makes appearances and helps out. And, you know, I think he may have a post at Calvin, sort of a retired spot, too, in his old stomping ground. So
in just a few days, I'm going to interview and film with Richard Swinburne.
Okay, great.
Would you know Swinburne?
Not as well.
Yeah.
So I've seen him at conferences and stuff.
Yeah.
But he too, like Professor Plantinga, was part of sort of that Christian Renaissance inside philosophy. So
it also, reminds us that all philosophers are not atheists. The big
right.
misnomer of our age. Jeff, give your title here at Houston Baptist University.
Right. So I have a couple right now. I'm dean of the graduate school. And then I'm also currently serving as the interim dean in our School of Christian Thought, and I'm director of our Institute of Christianity and Scholarship.
So the graduate school.
Right.
We see and we reported recently that it's had a lot of growth. Can you kind of tell us what's been conspicuous to that growth and then what the graduate school entails?
Right. So the growth in the graduate school, I think the most fundamental thing that's allowed that to happen is vision. And that's the vision provided by our president and by our leaders in the 10 pillars and embracing the challenge of Christian graduate education. For a variety of historical reasons, there's a lot of Christian schools in America that decided to be primarily liberal arts colleges or focused on the undergraduate experience. And that's not to say that's a bad way to do it. There's a lot of different ways to do higher education. But we really want to take advantage of the opportunity that we have here at HBU to not only just train undergraduate students, but train professionals, train those that are going to go on to do PhD work and teach at other universities. And I think it's really important that we embrace that challenge, because if we don't, then we're really conceding all forms of higher learning and academic training to the secular world. And there's some cost to that. So I think it's really important for the church that we provide really quality graduate programs at Christian schools. And I think that's the vision in the 10 pillars, and that's Dr. Sloan's vision. And then with that vision, then we've been able to grow our programs. And so we're now a doctoral granting institution. We have many new programs have started in the last 5 or 6 years. So that's where a lot of that growth has come from, is just meeting more needs that are out there in the community and in the church.
So in the graduate program, what all would that entail? Is it all the graduate from the different colleges?
It's all the different colleges and schools we have. And starting next year in the fall, almost every one of our colleges or schools will have a graduate program. We're hoping to have, and some of these are pending various accreditation approvals, but we're hoping to have, for example, a Master's of Science in Kinesiology and Sport Management over in our School of Nursing and Allied Health. We're looking forward to adding programs in our counseling areas, and you know, bringing out programs like a Master's of Arts in Marriage and Family Therapy would be a great one to have. We have programs in our humanities program. We have a Master's of Liberal Arts and a Master's of Philosophy. We have some in Christian Thought. We have some in Business. Really, it's something that's across campus, and so it's really exciting to see that's not just in one area, but it's really faculty across campus coming together to serve those students.
Why are the students postgraduate coming to HBU?
Well, part of it's our excellent faculty. So the Masters of Fine Arts program, for example, we have some of the very best visual artist, you know, that can just really do a great job mentoring those students, teaching them their craft and how to be an artist, but also how to understand Christianity and art in light of the truths of Christianity. And so they do a wonderful job attracting students because they care for the students, they want to mentor them, and their own professional experience is a testimony to their expertise. The same thing is true, say, in our Masters of Divinity program. Dr. Evans is a great scholar, and he's also a great communicator. So students know that they're going to get someone who's not only an expert, but someone who can pass that expertise along and that they can learn from. And so I think that's a large part of our success. Some of our programs are also more unique. We're one of the few Masters of Science in Human Resource Management here in Houston, and so we have a special niche there that people, I think, have really decided that we're an excellent school to come to. And we also have strengths in the undergraduate areas in some areas that then get passed on to our graduates levels as well, again, because of our excellent faculty, for example, in our School of Nursing and Allied Health and the reputation there we have. So I think all those reasons combined, you know, are the nature of our institution as a Christian institution, the quality of our faculty really make us a great place.
Well, HBU is Division I and it's nationally known, and now online is expanding. How many of the graduate programs are online and how many are going to be online?
Right. So right now we have 2 degrees that you can get fully online, the Master's of Arts in Apologetics and the Master's of Education. Now, in both those areas, we also have different tracks, so to speak. So in apologetics, you can do cultural apologetics or philosophical apologetics. In the Master's of Education, we have some like curriculum and instruction or educational administration. You can do those. And those are fully online programs. You don't have to come here at all. If you live, you know, somewhere far away, we, of course, would love to see you to come visit us. But you can also get a great HBU education from wherever you're located. We're hoping to expand that. And so, again, some of this is pending various approvals. But, you know, I mentioned one before, the Master of Arts in Marriage and Family Therapy. We're also looking at other programs out in counseling to expand as well. I want to say the number is 4 or 5 off the top of my head. I don't have the exact number for you. The Master's of Science in Kinesiology. Hopefully we'll have a Master's in Science in Nursing at some point too online. And so we're looking for several of them to roll out. One of them I just forgot actually, our Master's of Arts in Theological Studies as well is fully online. So I would just go check out our application. You can see all the list. Hopefully I didn't get any of them wrong there.
And by the way, how do they check it out?
HBU.edu. If you go to hbu.edu/grad, it'll pull up all the information about all our degrees. You can go apply online. You can see which programs are online, which ones are pending or not. With all this wonderful change we have going on, I know sometimes I have trouble keeping track, but if they go check out our website, it has the most current information. And the graduate coordinators or myself are always happy to help people out to make sense of those.
hbu.edu/grad, yep. G-R-A-D, that makes sense. Now, we have launched an initiative with the seminary with Second Baptist Houston.
Yep.
And Second Houston, as we know, is one of the great churches of America, Dr. Ed Young Sr. Can you explain that and what a response that has been and the reality that this is a seminary that isn't just talking about theory, but it's in the incubator of reality of one of the largest churches in the country.
No, and I think it's really important that it is. We have a, and this is something that we as academics have to acknowledge, that many churches looked at seminaries, and this is, I think, explains partially why the Master's of Divinity programs in some areas of the country are shrinking. Because we as academics haven't been meeting some of those felt needs that churches have. We've been doing a great job giving pastors theoretical knowledge, but when they show up to their church to pastor it, they've been doing all their practice inside the classroom, maybe with a little bit of an internship here or there, but it's been primarily scholars teaching them, and they need some more practical engagement as well. And so by partnering with the church, we really feel like students are gonna get the best of both worlds. They're gonna get all the great language studies we have here, they're gonna get all the academic knowledge we have in the studying of scripture, but then they're also going to be able to work with people that are pastoring day in and day out in one of the most successful churches that's out there, a church that, you know, and by success, I mean, it's touching people for Christ. It's not just all about the numbers, but when you look at Second's ability to, particularly for urban cities, right, here in the Sun Belt, they've figured out a way to be relevant in people's lives and to share the gospel. And I think that's a great model to learn from. even if it turns out that you're in a rural church or you're somewhere else in the country, what a great opportunity to study among the best, you know, real professionals who know what they're doing and want to do church well. So.
And that Houston Theological Seminary is what we call the Masters of Divinity of Houston Baptist University. It's has classes taught both at Houston Baptist University and Second Baptist.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Students can take classes on Second Baptist's campus. They can learn from some of their pastors there who are also our faculty. Or they can take classes here at HBU, or they can mix and match. We have some students that take some of their classes on Second's campus, and then maybe for convenience or they really like the professor or just it turns out that's the subject they want to study this semester, also take some classes here on HBU's campus. And they can even take some of our online classes as well. We try to do everything we can to make our classes accessible.
So online. That MDiv can cross into Master of Apologetics?
So we have some online classes in theology. And if a Master's of Divinity student wants to take some of those, we welcome it. And then, you know, maybe even one day we'll see a fully online MDiv. We're not there yet, but, you know, we can dream.
So. Now, Craig Evans, as we know, is one of the great theologians of the world, one of the foremost Jesus scholars of the world. He also is inviting auditors to the classes.
Yeah, the surveyors,
Okay, surveyors.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us what they are, man. I want to make sure everybody knows they can be a part of
that. I think this is a really exciting opportunity. One of the things I think we feel passionately about at HBU is thinking through how we can serve the church. And this is not true just about us. A lot of schools are thinking about how can we serve the church and provide education for, you know, the interested person in the pews. And I know it doesn't work for everybody's life right now to start a full graduate degree. But we still want to be able to help you understand scripture, help you understand the life of Jesus. And so we have students that some of them are Second Baptist members. Some of them are just members of the community. They can go online and then they can sign up for classes to, you know, sit in and learn from Dr. Evans. You know, they don't have to do the coursework or anything like that, and so it's a little bit more casual of an experience. And it's not for credit, but you still get all that learning and all that opportunity to participate. And so, it's an exciting opportunity.
Recently, Dr. Evans spoke at Second Baptist Houston, and it was a fantastic message that he presented on the uniqueness and incomparability of Jesus Christ. It's rather unique that you have a theologian like that who also knows how to communicate in a major pulpit.
Right. I think that it's part of his unique gifts as not only a scholar but a communicator. And what a communicator he is. And he's just as dynamic in a large crowd, like a pulpit on Sunday, or in a small classroom. You know, so people should take advantage of him being here in Houston. I think it's really a great place. And you know, we have other great scholars like that too at HBU. I think it's one of the things that make us unique.
Christy and myself and my son, all three of us were mentored by him in our doctoral program and Jeremiah and his PhD program. So we certainly are big enthusiast. Let's talk about the Master of Apologetics.
Right.
Because I filmed with Holly Ordway when we were both in London.
Right.
She was up in Oxford and I was in London, and so we met. I'm really impressed with her. Philip Tallon, Michael Ward, I filmed in his home there in Oxford and learned the significance of him being in England.
Right.
That I think a lot of Americans don't really quite understand who Michael Ward is. Can you profile those three?
Michael Ward is one of the world's foremost C.S. Lewis scholars. I would say out of anyone, he's responsible, for example, some of the celebrations we've had of C.S. Lewis's life in England. You know, he's been the forefront of helping keep that memory alive. He wrote Planet Narnia and talked about some different ways to understand the Narnia writings, and I think that really changed our ability to look at those writings and see even a deeper set of symbolism and meaning that Lewis wrote in there. And it took a while to sort of figure out that puzzle, but I think Dr. Ward cracked it. Dr. Ordway is, among other things, professor of English literature because she approaches apologetics from the imaginative point of view. You know, how do we not only talk to people through reason, but help people imagine and open up that space to even consider Christianity? And I think this is even more important in our current age where for a lot of people that maybe they didn't grow up in the church, or maybe they grew up in the church and for whatever reason they shut down that possibility in their mind, they aren't open to the idea of even listening to the gospel. And so what we have to do is really do a winsome way of trying to expand their hearts to this idea. Like, yeah. Can you imagine what it'd be like to be made in the image of God and have him love you so much that he died for you and rose again? That story is a powerful story, and one that we want to just tell in every way possible, you know, to reach people for Christ. And sometimes that's doing it through arguments and debates. Sometimes it might be doing it through literature. And so Holly's really a sort of pioneer when it comes to that imaginative apologetics. And Dr. Talon's a trained theologian and philosopher. He's written on Sherlock Holmes, the problem of evil, and poetics, and a lot of different items. He's a chair of our apologetics department, and he can really bridge both worlds, but help us think deeply about theology and then how to communicate theology to culture as well. And like you said, yeah, those are great theologians we have, in addition to all the other ones we have here on staff.
So the Masters of Apologetics has been online for some...
Yeah, I think 3 or 4 years now,
right.
I want to say.
And, yeah. And my daughter's enrolled in it, and she's in Georgia.
Yep.
And but I do believe that the faculty of the School of Christian Thought of HBU is uniquely superior to most
right.
Christian colleges I know. And I don't mean that as a put down to other colleges.
No.
It's just rarely do you aggregate that type of quality and scholarship in so many different people. I mean, you got Lee Strobel on one end yep. of the spectrum, and you've got Craig Evans and Michael Ward, and then I love Mary Jo Sharp.
Yep.
I mean, great. And Christy and myself are a part of the theology yep. department. But they're just a group of men and women that if I was doing my ministerial career all over again, if I was doing an MDiv, which right. I did, but if I was doing one for the first time, it would be exactly where I would go, because the broad range and the scholarship of that group of mm-hmm. theologians, I just don't know of any other school in the country that has it.
No, I think that's right. I mean, we're a unique school in that you can study, for example, with a couple, in addition to all the people you mentioned, you know, Bill Craig and Nancy Piercy
yeah.
here as well. And, you know, the list goes on and on.
Yeah,
and
I don't want to forget anybody. I mean,
others,
Nancy Piercy, my goodness.
And Ben Young's teaching at our second campus yeah. right now about communicating truth to culture, and he's written some on apologetics. You know, your son, Jeremiah Johnson, has written some great work in his unanswered Bible studies and other, and also his scholarly work as well. And so it's really a unique place. Students in our Masters of Philosophy program, students in our Masters of Arts and Theological Studies, Masters of Divinity, have space in their degree programs as electives to be able to take classes with our apologists, even if that's not their main degree.
Right.
And so I think that that's one of the strengths of HBU, is that we also have professors who are serving across these different programs here, and so we're not siloed. So the philosophers in the philosophy department in the School of Humanities help out in the School of Christian Thought, and vice versa.
That's a very important point.
It is, and I think it's part of the overall strength of HBU is that we're a university.
Exactly.
There's great things about seminaries, but I think as a university you have a unique perspective that you can come here, get a great theological education, prepare for ministry. You can also go watch a football game, watch a baseball game here on campus.
Division one
sports.
17 different yep. Division one sports.
You can go participate in our art museums. You can hear all the different lectures. You know, we had N.T. Wright come in just recently. So there's a lot of opportunities you have here as a university. And that's been a blessing for our students, and, you know, also for their families. I meet a lot of graduate students who, you know, the husband's in one program and then the wife is in another program, you know. Maybe she's taking her education degree and he's in one of the theology programs, is one of the patterns I've seen. But there's a lot of different versions out there. Maybe someone's in the MLA program and someone else is in the MFA program. So it's a great opportunity for families to come here together, pursue their education, and then go serve the kingdom.
We're talking to Jeffrey Howard Green, the PhD, who leads in the graduate school of the university, an area of great growth. I mean, I looked mm-hmm. at the numbers and the trend line, Jeff, and I was just really...
Yeah, we've more than tripled in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, it's just
it's
amazing.
Really remarkable.
Yeah. Is the student, the graduate student profile different than an undergraduate student?
It is a little bit. They're older. for one thing, but they reflect in the same way our undergraduate student body reflects the diversity of Houston. So do our graduate students. We're a very diverse graduate student body. And so really, we live in a multicultural city, and that city comes here for its education, and we're thrilled about that. We have a little bit more, I'd say, commuter students. We definitely have graduate housing, but more of those students are commuting because they have families and they live off campus, or they're coming at night from, you know, after they work all day. And so there's maybe a little bit of a different profile there. But by and large, it's really reflects our city. And then in our online programs, that is a unique experience. And so we'll see kind of how the undergraduate, as we expand our undergraduate online, what the demographic is there. But it's exciting in our graduate programs to have students all over the nation, even all over the world. I taught a philosophy religion course, and I would get on our course management software, and I'd talk to a student that we have in Japan, you know, who's taking our MA apologetics program. And so it's not just in America that we're reaching people. And that's really one of the great benefits of online.
Yeah.
It's that there are people that want an education, and as a university, we have an opportunity to serve them. And I don't know why we wouldn't take that opportunity to do everything we can to reach them where they're at and say, you know, come with us. Let's go learn together and go serve.
Well, Jeff, as you know, the world is a very small place.
Yep.
In 16 hours, I mean, you can be in the Middle East, and another 8 or 10 hours, you can be in Hong Kong, mm-hmm. and boom. I mean, I literally flew around the world a few years ago in a matter of like 1 week.
Yep.
And who would have ever thought? Now, digitally, the world is at our doorstep. HBU is responding to that.
Yep.
And I want to just, given your background and your expertise in philosophy, you know, the project I've been working on, a documentary on the rise of the nuns, this religiously disaffiliated cohort that's about 55 to 70 million adult Americans that have left the church. And I've been at the doorstep of a number of philosophers like A.C. Grayling in London, and formidable intellects.
Right.
And many of them that believe that the Christian story is nothing more than Greek mythology rehashed, and et cetera, et cetera. What drew you to the field of philosophy, and what was your PhD on, mm-hmm. and why? Because it's not the easiest subject matter.
It's that's fair. I one of the things that drew me to philosophy really was a love of theology. And as I was reading systematic theologies and thinking through how to understand God's word, philosophy plays a role in that. You know, there's a lot of things that play a role in theology. One of them is philosophy. And I said, you know, that'd be a really neat opportunity to be able to think hard about some of these really deep questions, think through some questions inside theology itself, you know, our understanding of the Trinity, how human agency works with God's sovereignty, and how we think through that. And some of those really require some fairly sophisticated philosophical reasoning that's out there. And so I thought, that's a great opportunity. I was thinking through in my college years too, you know, how can I serve? I was thinking, should I, you know, serve in the ministry? How should I do this? I even worked at a church for a while. And one of the things I really liked about the idea of being in ministry was teaching people, studying God's word, thinking hard about the universe. And I realized in the academic world, a lot of those gifts are what I would be doing full time. And I thought, you know, this is really a neat opportunity. We'll see what happens, but I'll go pursue it. And it's turned out really great. You know, I'm thrilled to work in Christian higher education, which is, you know, a calling of itself, and I think in ministry as well. And so being able to use my gifts in that way every day to help students think through ethical issues, or, you know, think through some of these theological questions we had, is really a great joy. And you asked about my dissertation,
yes.
too. So it's on a subject that is called, it's modal semantics. It's basically, how do we think through the nature of possibility and necessity? And the reason that matters so much is a lot of our talks say about freedom. It's, you know, what can we do? Are we determined, or is there other possibilities we have for ourselves? And or how do we know what's possible too? And those questions are often kind of bubble up inside philosophy and religion. And so a lot of what I do is think about metaphysics and epistemology and then apply it to questions in philosophy and religion. Recently, we celebrated Easter, and there's a lot of philosophical questions about the nature of resurrection. You know, mm-hmm, how could there be such a thing? And
sure.
How could it be that we're going to resurrect too? I mean, our bodies are going to decompose. What is it to be, you know, sown in dishonor and raised in glory? And those philosophical questions, I think studying philosophy helps give us some resources there to think through those a little bit more clearly.
You know, Jeff, the minister of the gospel today might think that they can just tell stories and you know, kind of have seminar sermons. But the fact of the matter is the culture has shifted in that, you know, with the advent of the internet and technology as it is, people are asking much tougher questions.
Right.
Young people are investigating much earlier. I can't imagine a pastor not wanting to continue his education. Can you?
No, I think just in the same way as professors, we have to educate ourselves every semester for our new classes.
Right.
I think it's really important that the leaders in our church are doing the same sort of refreshing. And I think one of the best ways to do it is obviously come to school with us. You know, we'd love to help you along that journey. But even to participate at HBU through the lectures we offer, through our online content, you know, even checking out, you know, our online journal, The City. There's lots of different ways.
Yeah, and let's talk about that just real quick.
Yeah.
You mentioned The City. I was going to say we collaborate together on that, but you really carry the ball and run with it. What is The City? And it is available digitally.
Yeah, it is. It's a digital journal. And so The City is our publication at HBU that really is a multidisciplinary effort in that we have professors from all across campus and all across other campuses too. It's not just HBU faculty writing about how Christianity and their professions come together. And we do different themes. So we've had recent ones on, say, science and faith. And you can read some of the leading lights in science and faith. Think about those issues. Or we've had one on the resurrection. We've done one on atheism in the last year, on Jesus and his enemies. And yeah, they're all available online at hbu.edu/thecity. Sometimes we'll have special articles too from various contributors. And so every few weeks, you know, there'll be something new up there. And it's a great opportunity just to check it out, you know, maybe make a bookmark of it and come back to it and just see what we're offering. Because there's always something going on at HBU in terms of either an event or content. And so I think if following us is one way, like you said, to sort of refresh yourself about the current trends.
Well, there is something always going on. 12,000 events each year held on the campus of Houston.
I didn't know it was that many.
University.
I knew it's a lot.
Straight from Candace, she told me that. And I thought to myself, boy, that is a lot. Jeffrey Howard Green, and let's make sure that we have the address on the city, hbu.edu/thecity.
Yep.
The City.
Yep.
And on the graduate program, hbu.edu/grad.
Yep. Both those links will get you there.
All right, Jeff, thanks for stopping by. And we look forward to talk to you again about future developments in the graduate program at Houston Baptist University.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
At HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.